Please be seated. We are blessed this year to be able to keep the feast of the presentation of our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple. I know it's a mouthful, but we are blessed to be able to keep this feast on a Sunday. It is one of a small number of feasts which, when they fall on a Sunday, they are celebrated rather than being moved to an open weekday. This feast falls 40 days after Christmas, and it commemorates Mary and Joseph, as we heard in our Gospel, presenting the child Jesus in the temple as required by the law of Moses. According to the book of Exodus, all firstborn sons were to be presented to God. That practice harkens back to when the people of Israel were enslaved in Egypt. And you may recall that the last plague before Pharaoh frees the people is a horrific one. It is death to all the firstborn Egyptian children and animals. The people of Israel are spared by that. They mark their doors with the blood of the Lamb of the Passover. And so, keeping the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph take the child Jesus to the temple to present him to God. They also there make, as required, the sacrifice. They offer two pigeons. Pigeons were the offering of those who could not afford a lamb for the sacrifice. So it reminds us, Mary and Joseph are poor. This morning we began our liturgy by carrying lighted candles, and this is a tradition that the liturgy on this day opens with a candlelight procession. Hence the other name for this feast, Candlemas. We heard in his prophecy how Simeon proclaims Jesus the light of the world. Jesus is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Jesus is the light come into the world, a light the darkness of sin and evil will not ever, cannot possibly overcome. Jesus is the light that burns away all dross, that purifies and refines just as silver and gold are purified by fire. The light of Jesus burns away all our impurities, preparing us for the time when Jesus will present us to God. The light of Jesus illumines our path and shows us where to go to follow him. And his light illumines, it opens and lightens our hearts and our minds with his abiding presence, so that we more and more, as we journey through this life, can follow his way of love. And his light purifies us, burning away whatever is not holy, whatever gets in the way of our union with God, with our neighbor, with ourselves, with the whole of creation. Simeon also tells us something very important, that Jesus is the light for the entire world. Jesus is light for all peoples. His love, his compassion, his mercy are not only for a small select group. Jesus comes to lead all people, to bring them into the light of his love. I'm struck by today's gospel how at one level it's such an ordinary story. Two parents, following tradition, bring their newborn son to the temple. They purchase pigeons in the temple precincts so they can offer a sacrifice. And they dedicate their firstborn son to God according to the law. But as the story unfolds, what begins in an ordinary way, something so many parents had done before them, turns into anything but ordinary. It turns into something quite profound and remarkable. As the new parents carry the child into the temple, there they meet the aged Simeon. Now we're told that Simeon is a man full of the Holy Spirit, and he has been told by the Holy Spirit he will not die before he sees the Lord come to his temple. He will not die before he sees the longed-for consolation, the promise to deliver the people. The Holy Spirit leads Simeon to the temple the day that Mary and Joseph present Jesus. And Simeon indeed sees the longed-for Messiah. He even takes the Messiah in his arms. And then he proclaims his canticle, his song, that we call and know as the Nunc Dimittis, the Song of Simeon. If you've ever said evening prayer, you have recited the words of Simeon. It's included in the Book of Common Prayer every time we pray evening prayer. Simeon declares that Jesus is the salvation of God for all people, the light that has come to the people of Israel and to all the people, the light that shines for everyone. Then Simeon offers poignant words to Mary, warning that this child will be opposed by many, and then says to Mary chilling words, "A sword will pierce your own soul also." Not everyone will accept the light of the world. Many will oppose the message of Jesus, his message of love. Some will even seek to kill him, utterly rejecting God's love. And Simeon's poignant words tell Mary that she will know the awful pain of her son being crucified. Simeon reminds us that the son born of Mary is God come into the world, the one who is love incarnate in human flesh. And yet, the world rejects the love of God revealed in Jesus. The world puts Jesus to death on the cross. Jesus, interestingly, is presented in the temple with that sacrificial offering of two pigeons, when he himself is the Lamb of God. He is the one killed at the Passover. Through his death, sin and death are defeated forever. And through baptism, thanks be to God, we share in a death like his, that we might rise with him to resurrection life. Though Mary will know that horrific pain of seeing her firstborn son die, through his death comes redemption and resurrection life for all people. In him is the promise that death is not the end, but death is the gateway to eternal life. Now, we continue to say Simeon's words into the present so many centuries later, but Luke gives us no record of what the prophet Anna says. She is present at the presentation, but Luke doesn't record anything of her words. But we know she reacts to the coming of the Messiah to the temple, that she began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. I see in Anna a model of faithfulness for us. She's of great age, and since the death of her husband, she has lived in the temple. She has worshipped there with prayer, with fasting. And like Simeon, she recognizes the Messiah and praises God for this act. She reveals to the world Jesus as the Lord, the one hoped for to deliver and restore the people. Her witness shows Jesus is the one who comes to save his people. I find the story of the presentation to be rich in symbols and layers of meaning. I could keep going on, but I won't. But I am struck by what I've already said, how ordinary this scene is at one level. Mary and Joseph come to do a ritual act, something parents of firstborn male children did. And in the midst of that ordinary action, that ritual action, God is revealed. And I think that's important for us. It reminds us how God is seen, maybe when we least expect. Simeon and Anna are able to see the Lord who comes to the temple because they are watching. They're expectant. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit leads them that day to the Messiah. Anna is a faithful woman of prayer, we're told. She worships God day and night. She fasts. She is expectant. She's listening. She's watching for God. Anna is open to God's call. Anna is waiting for God to enter in, watching for the Messiah to come to the temple. We too are called to be expectant, to look for the presence of God. And we do this in various ways. Certainly we do it when we gather as we are today to worship God on Sunday here in church. We do it when we pray. We do it when we are also engaged in more mundane acts. We can be open to God in the ordinary activities of life. When we're at work, in the grocery store, doing laundry, even doing dishes, God might just enter in. And so we're called to be open to the activity of the Holy Spirit, expecting God to be present, to lead us and call us. And we're called to look for God's presence to be revealed to us. We are to faithfully set aside times like Anna of regular prayer, of quiet, of being attentive to God, setting aside times to have God's word revealed to us through Scripture, creating space so that we can be attentive to God, so we can hear God's call to us. And I also believe we are called to be attentive to other people. God's call can come to us from them, from words they say to us. Other people can reveal God to us and bring us that message that God has for us. Reveal to us God's call. Just as Jesus was presented this day in the temple, so Jesus desires to present us to God at the last. Let us always walk by the light of God's love. Let us always walk by the light of Christ, following where it leads us. May we always reflect the light of Jesus, that we are beacons of his love, that God's love shines through us to all places of despair, of darkness in our world. Heaven knows there are many. And may we allow this light of Christ to purify and illumine us, that we are prepared to dwell with God for eternity in Christ's eternal resurrection light. I'm struck how I say all these words and then a poet can express them in just a few lines. So now that you've heard all those words from me, I want to close with a poem by Malcolm Guite. Malcolm Guite is a priest in the Church of England. He is a poet. He's readily available through his website and through social media. And because he's an Anglican priest, he keys often his poetry to the feasts of the church calendar. So I close with his poem, Candlemas. They came, as called, according to the law. Though they were poor and had to keep things simple, they moved in grace, in quietness, in awe. For God was coming with them to his temple. Amidst the outer court's commercial bustle, they'd waited hours, enduring shouts and shoves, buyers and sellers, sensing one more hustle, had made a killing on the two young doves. They came at last with us to Candlemas, and keep the day the prophecies came true. We share with them, amidst our busyness, the peace that Simeon and Anna knew. For Candlemas still keeps his kindled light. Against the dark, our Savior's face is bright.